Pre- and post-game host here on TSN 1260. Coming up at 6 o'clock as the Oilers host the Winnipeg Jets tonight. And Tommy, McDavid, Drysdale, Nugent Hopkins, a lot of the Oilers big minute eater guys up front anyway, not on the ice for an optional skate this morning. There was 10 defensemen on the ice. I think Tyson Barry was the only one who wasn't out there. But, you know, Nick Ehlers and Dubois were on the ice in their yellow jerseys, and they stayed quite a bit. I had it before I left. It was like 40 minutes after the main group had left, and they were still out there working on different drills with Jordy Benn and a few other defensemen. You know, this is a huge opportunity for Edmonton to take advantage of a depleted roster tonight.
Absolutely, without question, two very good hockey players, two high-impact NHLers. And yeah, Greg's, you know, we were watching today at practice to see what the Jets would roll out, and we saw the two yellow uniforms out there, the two yellow practice jerseys, the non-contacts, if you will, and that was all we needed to see. And so let's see, by the way, how the Oilers handle that scenario. Let's see if they are able to take advantage. You know, there's been moments this season when the opposition's other team or the other team's top players were out and Edmonton wasn't able to take advantage. Now, there were also times later in the year where they were. This is the playoffs. Things change a little bit, but it's looking pretty good for the Oilers right now. And you're also going to see Dominic Toninato in action for the Winnipeg Jets over Jansen Harkins. So, you know, a couple of playoff debuts as well for Veselainen and Stanley. Yeah, the Oilers are looking good going into this one. And Winnipeg with three wins in, what, its last 12 games? Not so much, but the postseason's a different animal. Let's see how it goes tonight.
Yeah, you know what? Well, the Oilers have three guys making their playoff debut as well in Puljujarvi, McLeod, and Dominic Cahoon. So really, two of both your top line wingers, if you want to call it that, your first line, are making their playoff debuts tonight. So that's something to watch for, just to see, you know, how they are handling, because the playoffs are a whole different ballgame. There's no question about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm wondering, too, about with this being game one, there's zeros across the board, all of that. If that kind of helps guys like a Yamamoto, who struggled to get points and put pucks in, obviously, it's been something we talked a lot about over the last few weeks. If maybe that just blank slate kind of gives them a chance to start fresh and it gives them a little boost of confidence. Maybe even when we were listening to Zach Cassian to talk a little bit today, I was thinking the same thing. You know, he did not have a great regular season. There were times where you're looking for much more from him in games. And he was talking and, you know, you like what he's saying going into the postseason here. But at the same time, I'm like, maybe this fresh start helps a guy like that as well as a guy like Kyler Yamamoto to get going.
Tom Cazzullo joins us at Sports Center, TSN 1260. You're Paul Maurice. Who are you going to start against McDavid tonight?
Oh, man. It didn't work against Scheifele or didn't work with Scheifele going head-to-head against McDavid. You and I were talking this morning saying, well, what about Lowry? That didn't necessarily work for the Winnipeg Jets. Do they look at going with an old-school shadow, Greggs? Have you tossed that idea around a little bit? And if they were to do that, who would it be? Would you sacrifice a guy like Kyle Connor who can keep up with McDavid? It's interesting. I'm guessing that they go with Scheifele, but if Paul Maurice is going to game plan for McDavid, which, you know, without question he will be, could he even consider something like that? What do you think?
Well, you know, he tried Scheifele. Then, you know, the one game they had Lowry in Winnipeg, and they kind of went Scheifele away from it. I talked to three different, head coaches, one active and two former who want to get back in. And both of them said it's hard. You know, you're not going to have one guy do it because mm-hmm. there's not one line that can do it. So it's likely going to be Scheifele's line. And I would think it's going to be Lowry's line because I don't think you're going to want to put Stastny out there. A little bit slower, a little bit older, you know, especially with a rookie on his line. So I'm going to guess it's going to see Scheifele to start. You want to challenge your best players. They want that challenge, right? Like, Mark Scheifele, he knows McDavid's great, even though he said Nathan MacKinnon's the best player in the league. That might come back to haunt him. But he said that at the start of the season when the NHLPA was doing their videos. But
right.
And trust me, you don't think McDavid knows about that? Oh, he knows. So, you know, your small little advantages that you look for. But I think you'll see Scheifele and Lowry rotate. The thing is, ultimately, I don't think it matters because the Jets don't have, like, as good as the forwards are, it really comes down to the defensemen and having a great gap and having size. And so, you know, you've got Stanley, who's huge, but like Neil Pionk isn't very big. Josh Morrissey isn't very big. Dylan DeMello isn't very big. Like, they don't have a legit number one defender who's like Alex Petrangelo, where not only do they have good gap, but they have length and reach. And so, like Hedman, they're just harder to get around, right? And I don't see them slowing McDavid down. I just don't see it.
No, and keeping him and Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Puljujärvi, guys like that to the outside, especially when the Oilers are in the offensive zone, it's not the same as a big, tough defense like Montreal has, where they were to, you know, pretty good success for most of their matchups against Edmonton do that. But you're right, I think getting to the middle of the ice, into the sweet spot of the offensive zone, the scoring areas, if you will, won't be as grueling and tasking as and tough as maybe some of the other teams in the North Division. So I like this matchup. It bodes well for Edmonton. Again, they have to show up, though. They can't just strut out there like they did last year in the bubble and expect to win because they have all these superstars and all that. That's all on paper. You actually got to go out there and perform. But you're right. It does match up favorably for the Oilers.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Hampton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. The big question, Tommy, everybody has, well, are they going to call penalties? Well, I actually crunched the numbers at the start of the playoff because I hear that the refs put their whistles away. Well, here's what happens. There's actually more penalties since 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20. There was more penalties per game called in the playoffs than there were in the regular season. Now, the difference is there's probably more infractions that maybe go uncalled, but there's actually more power plays per game in the playoffs than there was in the regular season. And when you've got the best power play in the league, that's a big benefit, right? Their power play was basically what it was against Winnipeg, what it was against everybody else, really good, 29%. So, like Edmonton's power play, you know, they average about three power plays per game this year, 3.11. They average three per game against Winnipeg. I bet you when the series is over, we'll see somewhere around that number. Now, some can argue that there's going to be some missed calls for sure. And there's, you know, and I've said this all along, once the playoffs start, I expect fans to have a complete bias. Don't be rational. That's not the point of the playoffs. It's supposed to be irrational. You should yell and scream at every call that you don't go your way. That's totally acceptable. I don't really like it in the regular season, but I understand in the playoffs because there's way more on the line. And you know, I think the Oilers, though, if they play their game, they'll get enough power plays to make an impact.
Yeah, and, you know, first of all, that's hilarious because we know and we see it every day on the text line and the calls we get and stuff about how the officials fire people up. And yesterday, I thought, speaking of the officiating in that Vegas Golden Knights-Minnesota Wild game, the Wild were trying to get the equalizer late in the game, and it was Kaprizov who took a penalty. It was a blatant trip, but at first I'm like, I didn't see anything there, but you could see in the replay in slow-mo, it was a blatant trip, and yeah, they're going to call it. So if they maintain that, I know not every officiating crew is exactly the same, but if there is some consistency, hallelujah, first of all, and then secondly, good, because in an ideal world, the calls will be going both ways equally. And I'm bracing myself for the pushback, anger, frustration from Oilers fans if it shall happen against them and they want to vent their frustrations. To me, though, it's all part of the fun.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Did you see the goal Varlamov let in last night? Like, Mikko Koskinen thought that was a weak goal.
Mikko Koskinen would have batted that one away with his frying pan, Jason. Like, it's... You can't let a goal like that in the postseason. And this is a veteran goalie that just lets in a floater. I don't know. I at times I shake my head and go, man, like, what are you, not dialed in? Did you blink at the wrong time? Like, what happened? those don't go in. Those shouldn't go in. Those are terrible goals. And last night it cost the Islanders.
Oh, 100% it did. You make that save, you're going to overtime. Basically, yeah. It's a 2-1 game. And like that goal, that's a back-breaking goal, no question. And I'm going to be curious to watch, you know, what happens moving forward. Now, he played fine after that. Right, which is okay, but it's sure. That's the thing about the playoffs. That one goal, and that's my concern with Koskinen. And I know people say, "Well, play Stalock." I'm not sold that Stalock's any better, to be honest. Because I think Koskinen actually can probably play better for long stretches. The problem is when he gets into one of those funks, then it's a disaster, right? And Mike Smith's going to have to get injured for him to come out of this series. Is the way I see right. it. I think he's in great shape. Dave Tippett's talked about it all the time. There's no travel between games 3 and 4. He can play back to back. I went back through in the last 6 years. We've seen back to back situations in the NHL playoffs because of arena availability. And in most cases, the goalies played back to back and it wasn't really talked about. So, you know what? It's not like it's going to be every series. It's not like it's going to be all the time. It's going to be one time. So I think, I would expect Mike Smith to play Sunday, Monday.
Absolutely. Don't get away from it. He's your starter, bonafide number one. And you're right, Mikko Koskinen is in one of those funks right now. I am one of those that thinks that Stalock is the better option as a backup. Hopefully that doesn't matter and it's irrelevant and not even worth arguing because you hope Mike Smith, who's been great this year, goes the distance.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any debate who's the Oilers' starting goaltender for the postseason, for sure. Do you see... With Cassie now healthy, do you see any reason for Dave Tippett to, you know, is Devin Shore, Tyler Ennis, you know, any of those guys do you think are going to get in this series if everyone's healthy?
The one I think maybe is Shore, just because of his ability to kill penalties, versatility, you know, he can fill in at center. I think that he'd probably be the first guy that if someone's not going or someone gets a little bit banged up, might get a look. But, Greggs, if we get Zach Cassian that put together a couple of back-to-back career regular seasons coming off the heels of an excellent playoffs in 2017. If that's the Zach Cassian that decides to show up today and the rest of the series and however long the playoffs go, no problem, obviously. But if Zach Cassian, the guy that we witnessed for most of this season, more so as well towards the end of last season before the stoppage in March, then that's an issue. But I think that, you know, it's been made pretty clear from what we've seen during these skates what Dave Tippett thinks is his best forward unit. But if a guy does get in, I think it's Shore, just because he's a veteran, he's got the versatility, has put together a really solid season. But I think that this is the group that's going to be moving forward here, and it looks pretty good. I don't know if Gaetan Haas gets in either. There's another guy that has some versatility, but his effectiveness at times is minimal. But I think Shore gets the look over him if it gets to that point.
Tommy, we'll tune in at 6 o'clock for the pregame show. Appreciate it.
Can't wait, Greg. See you tonight.